Take your Bibles, if you would. 1 John, please. Book of 1 John, chapter 1. If you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. 1 John, chapter 1. Let's read out loud all together these 10 verses here in 1 John and chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1 altogether. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. And it's actually very appropriate for this time of year, because it's talking about our Savior, Jesus Christ. I love the beginning, these first three verses of John and his testimony. And listen, you have to understand that as he is writing this, he is recalling the things that he experienced while with Jesus Christ here on this earth. Notice what he says, beautiful words and with such expression. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. I mean, think about it. They got to touch Jesus. They got to be with him. They got to walk with him. They got to hear him. They got to see him in action. This was very real to him. He says, for the life was manifested and we have seen it. And bear witness. Remember Acts 1:8, and ye shall be witnesses. And show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, this was a very real thing to John. It was a very real thing to the apostles. It was a very real thing to the disciples. It was a very real thing to the early church. And may I say that today, in 2022, it should be a very real thing to us. You see, Jesus Christ, our Savior, ought to be declared. We ought to be able to say, hey, listen, we have handled these things. We have seen these things. We have heard these things. We have touched these things. You say, Pastor, we can't touch Jesus right now. No, we can't physically, but we sure can spiritually. He's real. He really is that babe in a manger that grew up and lived a perfect life and gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins. We have the real Word of God. And you know what? When you touch this, you can say, if you will, you're touching God, because God and his Word are inseparable. This is the very Word of God. This is the mind of God. This is something precious. Boy, you ought to cherish it. You ought to love it. You ought to read it. You ought to get into it. You ought to want to share it with everyone that you can. I hope that you understand, and I hope that I'm conveying eloquently enough the excitement, the emotion,
the passion that we ought to have this Christmas time. And did you notice what the idea was? Why John was so declarative? Why John was trying to voice this love and this emotion and this excitement that he had for knowing Jesus Christ, the Savior? He said it's so that we may have fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So tonight's message, I just simply titled it this: Don't take a vacation from fellowship. It's vacation time. I'm going on vacation tomorrow. Some of you may be taking vacation this next week. You may be going off to spend time with family and with friends. Can I say, getting away from work and getting away from the job and, you know, getting away and getting to go out of town and do different things and maybe just having some downtime is absolutely wonderful. And it's absolutely necessary. But you know what's not necessary? Downtime and vacation time from God. Guess what? We need more of that, not less of that. And guess what? You're not going to get burnt out by spending time with God. So don't take a vacation from fellowship. John says this fellowship is important. This fellowship is special. This fellowship is what we can have with Him. In verse 6, he goes on to say, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It's not good not to have fellowship with Him. We need to make sure that we are doing everything we can to maintain good fellowship with God the Father. You see, fellowship is important. Guess what? Fellowship means the condition of being an associate. Mutual association of persons on equal, if you will, friendly terms. You say, how are we equal with God? We are joint heirs with Christ. Because of His blood, He has made us a full member of the family of God. You understand that we have this companionship, this intimate familiarity, this mutual sharing of experience, activity, and interest. It is a time of communion, a time of companionship with our Savior and with our God. You know what I count that? I count that a privilege. We have, through Jesus Christ, the privilege of fellowship. Listen to a few verses from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, God wishes that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Folks, we've been called. You know, you say, but Pastor, there are some people that are saved, and there are some people that are not saved. There are some people that choose salvation, and there are some people that don't choose salvation. Are you saying that God calls everyone? Yes. But they don't all answer the call. Maybe tonight, you have not yet answered the call of salvation. God wants you to be saved. He knows that you're a sinner. He knows you're condemned already to hell, and He has provided salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is ask. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's called us unto fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for all of you, and making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes and says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You understand, we have this opportunity to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And guess what? It's a privilege. It's not a right. It's a privilege. Did you notice what it said in our text? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have the privilege of fellowshipping with him. God wants us to fellowship. It is a privilege that we have. The second thing I'd like to say about this fellowship and not taking a vacation from it is that God wants us to have daily fellowship with him. Not only is it a privilege to have fellowship in the first place, but God wants to meet with us every single day. Do you know that coming to church on Sundays is a good thing? Maybe even coming to church Sunday night. Y'all hear? It's a great thing to come to church on a Sunday night. It's a good thing to come to church on a Wednesday night. But can I tell you something? Coming to church 3 times a week is not enough for God. Oh yes, he enjoys and he loves the time of fellowship that he gets to spend with us. We're singing praises to God. We're hearing from the Word of God. We're fellowshipping with other believers. This is a wonderful place and a wonderful time. But it's not enough. God wants to meet with us every day. Oh, but guess what? Not only does he want to meet us every day, he wants to meet with us in the morning. He wants us to meet with us in the noontime. He wants to meet with us in the evening. He wants to meet with us before we close our eyes and sleep. Sometimes David even met with God in the night watches. Hey, God says, pray without ceasing. When is that? How often is that? Oh, all the time. Hey, God wants to be with us. He wants fellowship with us. He wants to be with us always. And we ought to want to be with him. I wonder if we would accurately try to measure the amount of time that we actually spend with God. Would it be enough? And would it be enough to register on some sort of scale that says, yes, this time in fellowship that I've spent with this being is enough to signify that I love him? Or does it even register on any such scale? You know, if I only spent a small amount of time with my wife each day, I could say I loved her all I wanted. But what would my time in fellowship with her indicate? Maybe that I don't love her that much. You see how that works? Why is it any different with our God? You say, Pastor, I'm busy. I know, I'm busy too. You see, that's not a fair comparison because your work is working with God and working with the people of God. And that's not fair. Well, it may not be fair. And I'm not here to compare myself with you. I'm just asking you, how's your fellowship? Do you count it a privilege? Do you have daily fellowship? I hope you do. Time where you commune with God? God wants us to commune with him. In Luke chapter 9, it says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? You understand that in the early days of the church, in Luke chapter 2, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily, with one accord in the temple, and in breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's a daily thing, this thing of fellowship. You know, not all fellowship is an outward expression. Sometimes it's just that quiet time you spend with God. Whatever it is, if you're reading or praying, if you're just meditating and spending time with the Lord and just thinking on Him, or maybe perhaps just kneeling down by your bedside, whatever it is, there should be a daily time of fellowship. And let me tell you something. You go on vacation. It's this vacation time. Don't take a vacation from fellowship. Still walk with Him. Still talk with Him. Still read the Word of God. Even though you may be out and about, or you may be in a different state or a different country, or you may be on a cruise floating in the middle of the ocean, wherever you may be, don't take a vacation from fellowship with God. The last thing that I'd like to mention tonight, and by the way, I'd like to commend all of you for listening so well. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter. In chapter 2. Fellowship is a necessity for the Christian. It's a privilege that we can participate in through the blood of Jesus Christ, through salvation. And it's something that we ought to do on a daily basis. But can I tell you something? Fellowship is not supposed to be one of those stagnant things. It's not supposed to be one of those things that I've got my 5 minutes in and I'm done today. Look what it says in chapter 2 and verse 2 of 1 Peter. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. That ye may grow thereby. Now flip one more book of the Bible to 2 Peter and look at chapter 1. Do you notice the word grow that I mentioned in 1 Peter? Look what it says here in chapter 1 in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What key words are you noticing here? Add, grow, abound, fruitful. Does that sound like I've got my 5 minutes in today and that's enough for me? No. No. God doesn't want us just to give Him a token. Oh, God, I got my check mark on my Bible reading schedule today. I'm all done fellowshipping with you. That's not what God desires at all. He desires for our time of fellowship and our time with God to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow and to abound and to be added to and to be added to and to be added to. It's not just supposed to stay small. It's supposed to grow. In 2 Peter 3, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what all this stems from? This growth, this abundance, this adding to, stems from our time in fellowship with God. Our time in the Word of God, learning the Word of God, studying the Word of God, hiding the Word of God in our heart, praying, pouring out our heart to God as we enter into our closet and we ask our Father things that are in secret, and He'll reward us openly. A time of prayer, a time of fellowship, a time of meditating. When's the last time you just sat and thought about God? You know, as a young man, and young men don't necessarily listen to the things that I have to say right now. But, you know, guys, we come up with these very clever pickup lines when we're interested in a young lady. Right? Can you guys? You can nod your heads. It's okay. Right? You look at her and say, "Boy, you must be tired. Come on, you know the rest of it. Because you've been running through my mind all day." Come on! That's an old one, right? Yeah. Ladies, you haven't heard that? Your husband didn't use that on you? Okay, well, boy. I don't know. Maybe I'm just... Did I ever tell you that? She doesn't remember. See, that's how much pickup lines really have an effect, guys. They don't really do much. But I only said that to say this. How often does God run through your mind? Could you accuse Him of being tired? "God, you must be tired because you've been running through my mind all day." Hey, yes, you laugh, but aren't we supposed to have a love and affection for Him that supersedes anything we could compare to on this earthly realm as far as a relationship goes? I mean, how often does God pop into your mind? How often do you just think about Him and all that He's done for you and all He's been to you and what Jesus has done for you and what He's meant to you and what He's saved you from? Just take about 3 seconds to think about where you would be right now without Jesus Christ. Many of us probably would not be here. I'm just saying. Not only is fellowship a privilege, and not only is it something we ought to be a part of daily, but it ought to grow. It ought to grow in duration, how long we fellowship. It ought to grow in devotion, the expressiveness in how we express ourselves to God. And listen, it ought to mean more. It ought to pour out of us. It ought to be something that we look forward to. The desire of fellowship with God ought to be greater. I've been told that people with addictions, the first thing they do upon waking is they have this craving for that substance. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's tobacco, whether it's some sort of drug, as soon as their eyelids open up, they're reaching for it. Where's our level of addiction to God? Are we reaching for our Bibles? Or are we reaching for that cup of coffee? Are we reaching for our Bibles, or are we reaching for that cigarette? You know, do you understand what I'm talking about? Well, where is our level of devotion? Where is our level of desire for fellowship with God? And day by day and year by year, it ought to grow and grow and grow and grow. You understand that fellowship is important to God, and it ought to be important to us. So as we close, look back at what John says in 1 John. He says in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." People say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. What a joyous occasion this is. And it truly would be if we would increase our level of fellowship with Him. So I just want to encourage you tonight, and maybe even beg you tonight, don't take a vacation from fellowship. Go ahead, take your vacations, take your time off, but not from God. And maybe tonight, if your fellowship hasn't grown for a while, this old-fashioned altar is open for you. Why don't you restore that? Rekindle that relationship with the Lord. Maybe you've gone away from Him. Get back to Him. Confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then maybe tonight you say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I've not experienced any fellowship with God. Then my friend, tonight can be a day of salvation for you. You can come to Him. As the song says, though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. He wants you to be saved. He sent His Son. And it tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This is the time of year that we're remembering. And it's all so that we can have fellowship with Him, with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ.